Good morning, everybody. Welcome. I am Bo Sanders. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, I will look forward to getting an opportunity to say hi after the gathering. For those of you who were not here last week, let me say Happy New Year. It is good for you to come back, and you've come back on a great Sunday because we're starting a new series, and it's going to take our conversation in a little bit different of a direction. So if you have any questions, there's people out in the lobby you can ask questions to. Restrooms are just across the fellowship hall. Children are downstairs on the first floor. Those are generally the frequently asked questions. But I want to actually start show you a video to kind of set the tone today. And during the video, you're actually going to receive an image. Bob is going to hand out images, right? Are you helping too, Sean? All right, Bob and Sean are going to hand out images to everybody for an exercise we're going to do in a minute. And then after that, the band's going to play us a song. If you know the song, please sing loudly. With the band, we want to fill the room with song. And if not, you'll learn it very quickly, and then you can join.
I tried to keep you in a tent that could not keep you in a temple or any of their idols. To see and understand, we cannot keep you in a church, we cannot keep you in a Bible, or it's just another idol to box you in. They could not keep you in their walls, we cannot keep you in us either, for you are so much greater.
That you've been given, and we're going to do a little exercise. So I want you to stand up, and you have a couple minutes to wander around the room and compare images with somebody else until you find a satisfactory match. Somebody who you feel like has an image that somehow connects with your image. So you got a couple minutes to do that and to talk to that person, introduce yourself, and then in 2 minutes, I'm going to give you the next layer, all right? So stand up, mill around. Our theme for today is interpreting images, how we interpret images. So I want you to take just a couple minutes and talk about how you partnered up, what you saw, the similarities of your pictures. So talk about the connections, how you connected them. And then in a couple minutes, we're going to talk about this verse that says we are created in the image of God. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? But before we get to that, talk about how you connected your images, okay, just as a group. Go. We would like to hear from you. We're going to wander around. Okay. We're very interested in what your conversation sounded like. So if you've never been to the Loft, welcome. It's a conversational community. Kind of our tagline is couches, coffee, conversation. And so part of being an emergent community, which we call ourselves, is we don't exactly know what's going to emerge from these conversations. So we're just going to wander around. Chris has the microphone.
Let's start over here.
And
with
we're interested in what this conversation sounded like.
So can you give us some?
God of justice, Savior to all, King to rescue the weak and the poor. Chose to serve and not be served. Jesus, you have called us. Freely we've received, now freely we will give. We must go live to feed the hungry, stand beside the broken. We must go stepping forward. Keep us from just singing, move us into action. We must go to act justly every day, loving mercy in every way, walking humbly before you, God. You have shown us what you require.
Donald Rumsfeld was one of the architects of the Gulf War, the Iraq War, and when he was being questioned about justifying everything that got us into the war, he came up with this amazing formulation. He said that there are known knowns, unknown knowns, and unknown unknowns, right? So things we know, things we know we don't know, and things we don't know we don't know. So then the philosopher Zizek comes along and says, actually, there's another category. There's yet a fourth category, because there's also things we know that we don't know, right? There's things that we know, but it's like they're out there and we can't get a hold of them, the unknown knowns, right? Yep. And so I came up with, in a similar way, with this, Ryan, can you put up the grid? I came up with this thing that I want to talk about for the next couple weeks. So I think when it comes to Christian spirituality or religion as a whole, I think that there are real reals, there are fake fakes, and then there are fake real and real fake. So that's going to be our conversation over the next 4 weeks. Yep. So I'm going to give you an illustration. Let's use Christmas trees as an example. Chris came up with this.
Yeah, so we started talking about, it was Christmas season as we were pondering this thing, and there were two Christmas trees that came up in my family that we talked about, and then some other ones we added on. The first one is I have a purist in my family who believes that Christmas trees are somehow a sacred object ordained at the first telling.
We have
Jesus.
A worship song to them. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches.
So if you're going to do a Christmas tree, it better be a real, real Christmas tree.
Real, real.
So you get a real Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You rent it.
Yeah.
So you
My
know,
father-in-law owns a Christmas tree farm in Montana.
They don't get any realer than Montana Christmas trees.
Right.
But here you can rent your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So they bring it to your house.
They rent
with
them.
Roots on it. And they will replant it after the season so it's fully sustainable in every way. Does not take, you can get that here, and they will deliver it to
your
house.
It's probably pretty affordable, too, I would guess.
And it comes, they put fully organic lights on it, and they display it.
I don't know what that means.
It is real.
They dissolve in the rain?
I don't know, but it's like, what is this?
Right.
But it is like the purest form of Christmas tree. Now, the Christmas tree that was in my grandmother's home, was the coolest Christmas tree ever. It was made of tinsel.
Yeah, baby.
And it was like 3 feet tall.
It wasn't even pretending.
No.
In any way.
And it had this light system at the front of it that would spin. It had a rotating color wheel. And it would, so it's silver tinsel with these lights that shine onto the tree. And she would put it in front of the paneling in the living room that's wooden. And these colored lights would shine through the tinsel. It was like the psychedelic wonder of everything awesome in the 70s
my favorite,
in a Christmas tree.
My favorite one of those is now you, at like Spencer's Gifts. Not that I go there, but you can find they have...
disclaimer?
I walked by in the mall and I noticed it. Yeah. But they people will judge... Have I touched a nerve? People will judge what, like how you present your Christmas tree on your Facebook profile, right? But here's the thing. The reason I wanted to have this conversation is a lot of times in Christianity, we have a romanticized notion of the past. And so we elevate something like the real tree without ever having the conversation. Because people who are into the real become very judgy of the fake, and even the fake real and the real fake, right? And it's almost like these other things are compromises and deviations from the real. Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Okay, because
you're saying like there's a
sentimental,
an authentic,
yeah,
original,
yes,
whole form of religion, and that has to be held onto. We kind of look down all the others.
Here's the thing. So in the loft, I think this is a safe room to pull the curtain back and have a different conversation, because so often the Christian religion or Christian spirituality is trying to reclaim something from a couple decades ago or a couple centuries ago in a romanticized notion like...
We call it the good old days.
Right, or a pastoral, agrarian, when people woke up at a, you know, because the chicken was crowing and it was time to milk the cows, right? And they're like, oh, and you know, and I read the Bible for an hour. Like, that's never going to happen now, right? For
I don't
most of
think
us.
So.
Here's the thing. The reason I set it up this way is because it's not that we're idolizing the real. What I want to be clear on is that people romanticize the real and they think they're like sticking up for something, and then they judge the fake, right, and the plastic and the shallow. But here's the thing. The entire project is flawed from the beginning, because even what we're calling the real, you chopped down a tree that was alive and brought it into your house to certain death, right? Just the act of bringing in the Christmas tree is compromised. So how dare you stand on your lofty box and judge everyone else in your bully pulpit because you have a real tree in your home that you murdered in order to bring it in, right? So even people who are like, oh, we only have real trees in our home, as if they've really accomplished something, the entire project has an element of fakeness to it. That tree was doing fine before you captured it.
And there's something that gets kind of mixed up in this, is that we can't really speak about what's happening in naming the thing itself. Yeah. We can't articulate that this practice that we do, why it's beneficial, or what it brings forth from us, either God calling us into a new existence or us making a difference in the world around us because we've participated somehow in this diagram. We can't name it yet. So we want to pull that back and talk about what we practice in Christian faith, how it actually works in our life, and what sort of awareness it can bring to us, right?
Yeah, because one of the things we're going to end up talking about is like, let's take the issue of fashion, right? So people who are maybe not fashionable, or maybe they wrinkle up their nose and think like, oh, you're shallow because you're really concerned about your appearance, right? Mm-hmm. But they think that they're standing in this lofty position where they can judge other people for their appearance or image or however much time they invest in that. But the thing is, we all wear clothes. The question is, how much time do you put into picking your clothes? Because I know a lot of people who look pretty much like they don't care, who put a lot of effort into looking like they don't care, right? And the thing is, I think the loft is a safe place for us to say, look, the entire project is compromised from the beginning. There is no pure position. There is no romanticized Eden that we're going to return to. It's all flawed from the very beginning, so let's at least be accurate when we talk about it.
And you're naming the thing about looking backwards. Yeah. I often hear, or I heard a lot in the church that I grew up in, about trying to reach for the first century church, the church that started in Acts. Yeah. If somehow we could attain what was, then God would bless us. You could get this formulaic approach to say, if we could become like that first century church, but we miss the point that God has moved forward and is pulling us, and that looking back actually takes our attention away from going forward. We talk about the real and elevate that at the expense of others and miss the movement of God into the future.
So I want to throw out another category and go through four. So let's talk about communion. So the real of communion was Jesus initiated on the night with his disciples was part of the Passover Seder.
Yep.
There's real wine and unleavened bread because unleavened represented no sin. Okay,
yep.
So that let's say that's the real. Then you have the fake, which is, say, Coke and Oreos at youth camp. Okay, let's call that the fake. It's about as far away from the real as you can get. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Sure.
But let's call that the fake. We have no trouble distinguishing those two. Here's where we get into trouble. So you have the fake real, which is, in my mind, is if anybody's ever been to communion where they pass out in these trays these little shot glasses of grape juice. And
the
crackers.
Have you done the pull-off crackers now?
Yeah, the pull-off crackers. Because they can now they come in sanitized packs.
It's like the cheesy stuff that you spread on. What is that?
The
snack packs.
The snack packs.
They
you take
those for.
Yeah, you peel
communion.
Back the plastic lid. You take out your
so
Jesus
cool.
cracker. Then you throw that away. You peel off the second lid, and you have your Jesus juice.
Yes.
Juice and crackers.
Kill it.
Right? All right. So that is the fake real. But there's also a real fake, which is a lot of Protestant churches. Like ours, every first Sunday of the month, we do communion. But here's the thing. We don't do it with wine. We do it with grape juice. And we don't use unleavened bread.
Yeah, it's challah.
Yeah, we like puffy bread.
Puffy bread.
Right? So that's the real fake. So here's the thing, though. People who both do the real fake and the fake real feel very judgmental. I have seen some people get lambasted, almost lose their jobs for having communion with things like Coke and Oreos at youth camp. And they're like, that's sacrilege. Oh, really? Mr. Grape Juice and Puffy Bread?
Yeah.
You're
going to
get judgmental about Oreos and Coke. Because as long as it's not the real, which is wine and unleavened bread during a Passover Seder, everything else is a deviation and maybe a variation, right?
But you're also talking about
Jesus in there, right?
They eat the Darwin
they
fish.
They eat the Darwin fish, yeah.
Fist fight
so I want to talk about bumper sticker wars.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to what does it mean to have a gold-encrusted, diamond-laden cross necklace that identifies you as a Christian who can afford a necklace like that?
Wow.
What does that mean, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a blinged-out Christian? All right, I want to talk about that.
Okay.
I want to talk about bowing your head while you pray versus having a yarmulke versus having a burqa. I want to talk about those symbols in prayer. So I want you to break up into groups of three at max, so two or three, and I want you to talk about what you've just heard. I want you to compare notes, and then you're going to give us some feedback so that we can plan the next 3 weeks better. So groups of two, max three. Some of you, this is going to be a test.
All right, somebody's getting voted off the island.
Yeah. And talk about what you just heard.
Go.
Together.
Saw you stand upon the sea. Would you left me? Would you left me? I saw you walk out on the deep. Would you help me? Would you help me, my Lord? Down in the river, say a prayer for me, say a prayer for me. I saw you sit down with the sinner, save a chair for me, save a chair for me, my Lord. I saw you sit Would you revive me? Would you revive me, my Lord? Lord,